Hi, and welcome to the Cure Talks Cancer Podcast. Each week, we talk with patients, survivors, caregivers, advocates, or healthcare professionals to do what Cure does best: provide cancer updates, research, and education. Before listening to this podcast, please note that it contains a personal account of the September 11th terrorist attacks in New York City that may be unsettling or triggering. Listener discretion is advised. On September 11th, 2001, Judy Mayers was on a train to New York City where she worked as a commercial real estate paralegal. While the day started like many others, the terrorist attacks on the World Trade Center made that fateful Tuesday one of the deadliest days in American history. While Mayers was able to miss being at the site of the attacks, which she credited to luck and timing, she was soon back at work in Lower Manhattan, breathing an air that she said smelled horrible but was reportedly safe. Years later, in 2019, she was diagnosed with stage 3B non-small cell adenocarcinoma that was linked to her exposure following the 9/11 attacks. In this special edition episode of the Cure Talks Cancer Podcast, Mayers shares her story.
I commuted through the World Trade Center for basically the entire 23 plus years that I worked downtown in Lower Manhattan on Water Street. And I was headed there on New Jersey Transit. And I looked out the window and I could see the World Trade Center on fire. You know, at that point, the train was like a buzz with what's going on, because we really had never seen anything like that before. Mm-hmm. Well, we got into Hoboken and, you know, I thought, okay, it's just, you know, something happened. I'll just try to go to Midtown. The PATH train downtown was closed. I tried to get, went down and sat on the train to Midtown, but that wasn't going anywhere. So I went back upstairs and people were trying to get a bus from the bus terminal behind the train station. And that's when the second plane hit the second tower. And then we all realized, well, we're probably pretty much sitting ducks here. New Jersey Transit made the decision quickly to turn the trains around and get us the heck out of there. But we had to wait for victims to come. And looking out the train window, I was like, these people are all so dirty. We didn't have cell phones like we do today. So we didn't know what was going on from minute to minute like other people did who were watching on TV. We were kind of in the dark and we saw these dirty people getting on the train. It was like, wow, they're so dirty. They finally took off. It took me a while to get back home, and then I could see once I turned the news on, I could see what was going on. But until then, I really didn't know. My husband didn't know where I was because the cell phone towers had been taken out. I don't remember having the ability to text to say, hey, I'm okay, I'm coming home. And I was not able to go back to work. I want to say for about a week while Lower Manhattan was closed, but we did go back the day, you know, they reopened. And then you've heard all the stories from the people in the office of what happened, you know, when they were caught in the dust cloud, and it was pretty awful. And I have to say, I am a very lucky person. I am one of the very lucky ones, because I would have been right in the middle of it. Just, it was a matter of timing, basically. That's all it was for me. And it was just an awful, awful time in New York at mm-hmm. that time. It was, that smell was everywhere, inside, outside, and it was just a horrific time.
But when you went back to work a week later after the attacks occurred, was there any precautions or anything? Did people say, you know, don't breathe in the air, it might be toxic, or did you just go on your merry way? Like,
the EPA told us the air was safe, but you know it was bad because of this, the horrific smell inside and outside. And I was just changing jobs couple months later. And my job, my new job, required me to go from meeting to meeting in our buildings that were close by. So I would be out on the sidewalk a lot, you know, inhaling all that stuff that was still being still in the air, and the trucks hauling the debris away from the World Trade Center site. They were rumbling along the road uncovered. There was particulate matter in the air for months and months afterwards. And I was exposed to that. There was, I think they estimated there were about 500,000 people, workers, residents, just people present on that day and in the aftermath. So
let's fast forward a little bit into your cancer journey. So can you tell me about any symptoms that you may have experienced, how and when you were diagnosed, the treatment you underwent, how you're doing right now?
I want to say June of 2019, I lost my voice. So I went to the doctor, and I was misdiagnosed a couple times, first with allergies, then with acid reflux. I went to the ENT, and he's the one who said, oh, you have acid reflux, take some omeprazole, see how that goes. Well, it didn't help. My voice was still gone. I did not have a voice. I did have a cough, you know, just a minor cough, but really that was it. I had lost weight over several months, but I also was on a keto diet since January, so I expected to be losing weight. Looking back now, who knows? Finally, since nothing worked for my voice, I went back to my primary care doctor. I had seen a substitute back in June because she was away, and now back in, I guess I'm into October, I went back to her. So she sent me for, she said, I can hear crackling in your lungs. Let's go for a chest x-ray. So I went for a chest x-ray. That came back. She immediately sent me for a chest CT scan. And she called me into her office at 5 o'clock on a Friday to deliver the news to me. You have lung cancer. A total shock out of nowhere. But I knew her calling me into her office at 5 o'clock on a Friday afternoon, I thought I better bring my husband.
Right.
So she got me hooked up with a pulmonologist. But initially, he said, I want to treat you aggressively. So I did undergo 6 rounds of chemo, 30 rounds of chest radiation. That was difficult because the radiation gave me esophagitis big time, and I could not swallow. I couldn't eat. Drinking an Ensure would take me an hour. That's so much how painful it was. I tried to get myself a pain management doctor who prescribed morphine. I just couldn't tolerate the oxycodone that my radiation oncologist was able to prescribe. I couldn't tolerate it. It made me much too nauseous.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I went to a pain management doctor. He prescribed methadone, morphine, but that gave me still the same amount of dizziness. So I was like really struggling with pain management. And all of a sudden, my pain management doctor disappeared. I couldn't get in touch with him. Struggled for a while with this tremendous pain. I became very deconditioned. I had to go for hydration at my infusion center 3 times a week, but I was really in very poor shape at that point. Then on Valentine's Day 2020, I experienced severe abdominal pain. It was so bad. Now, I can take pain, but this was pain level 10. So I asked my husband, well, we got to go to the emergency room. So we did. And it turned out that I had a perforated bowel and a sepsis infection. Needed emergency surgery. I was in the hospital for 10 days. In ICU for a good number of those days. I was in I felt so horrible in the ICU that my sister came in to, you know, to support me. And I said to her, I can die. I can't go through this. I'm okay if I die. I'm at peace with it. She was so horrified. After I got out of the ICU and I got into a regular room, I did ask for a pain management doctor. So the hospital sent a palliative care doctor over, who I had actually met before in connection with my father's hospitalization. It was really funny. So I kind of knew her.
Huh.
So I gradually, started to recover. I was in a rehab hospital for 10 more days, at which case that's when COVID was just starting to become a thing here.
Right.
And I was discharged from rehab on March 7th, which the timing was unbelievably good. Again, I was lucky with timing.
Indeed.
I got home. I've had, I guess, 6 weeks or so of in-home therapy and, homemade and stuff like that. I started taking Tagrisso in March of 2020 for my EGFR mutation.
Mm-hmm.
I slowly recovered. Stayed away from everything last year because of how sick I was. And by, I want to say, August, September, I was doing pretty good. A little strong. You know, I was stronger. But today, I am feeling very good. Became NED in April.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
That's so exciting.
That I never expected. Yeah, so today I'm NED.
Congratulations.
I'm vaccinated. I just had my flu shot.
You're ready to go.
I scheduled my third Moderna shot for 2 weeks from now. So
fantastic. Look at you.
Yep.
So let me have a few follow-up questions with regards to your cancer journey.
When I did get diagnosed, I kind of made the immediate connection. I was like, well, this has to be it. This has to be the reason. And according to the legislation, you are presumed, your lung cancer is presumed to have been caused by the 9/11 toxic exposure. Even if you were a smoker, even if you were a heavy smoker,
mm-hmm.
Your lung cancer is still presumed to have been caused by that toxic exposure. Because not everybody who smokes gets lung cancer.
Right. So what went through your mind when you kind of put two and two together, and so did your doctor, that this was potentially and most likely linked to 9/11 exposure?
Well, what I did was I looked into the 9/11 Victims Compensation Fund,
mm-hmm.
and I realized that I didn't think I was going to be able to navigate that myself. It's kind of bureaucratic. There's a lot of rules. You have to do certain things. And I just didn't think I would be in a position to handle that all myself. So I called. I think I wrote an email to an attorney that I used to work with who is very involved in New York City land use.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him if he knew of any 9/11 attorneys, and he reached out to somebody we both used to work with, and he recommended Barash and McGarry, who is the law firm I chose, to represent me in submitting my application to the 9/11 Victims Compensation Fund. And I have also followed all the procedures to become certified into the World Trade Center Health Program. And that just recently happened.
Wow.
So I'm certified into that. There are 68 cancers that make you eligible for these programs. And also other illnesses, but 68 cancers, lung cancer being one of them. So once you are certified into the World Trade Center Health Program, You are entitled to free health care. Or you can continue with your own doctors, and they can just monitor your health care. And I mostly wanted to be part of any research that was done because I thought it was important. I mean, the first responders, they know what happened to them. They either died on the spot or they got sick fairly quickly. But 18 years later, yes, there are still some first responders who are getting sick. But now the new wave is just the normal average people who just happen to work or live there.
Hmm.
I think there's going to be more of us in the future because for some of these cancers, 20 years is kind of the incubation period.
So if you have to give one piece of advice to anyone who is possibly in a similar situation to you were on 9/11, whether it be, you know, heading into work, eventually exposed when they went back to work, what advice would you give them?
Go for yearly CT screening. Tell your doctor that you are at risk for 68 different kinds of cancer. You know, go for that annual CT screening. I wish I had done that, and if I had, they could have caught it at an early stage rather than the advanced stage it was. Yeah. I went through a lot. Treatment almost killed me. I went through a lot. And if I could have caught it at stage one, had surgery and been done with it, I would have been much better off. But surgery was not an option for me, obviously. But consider it a big risk factor, even if you never smoked. Once you do get diagnosed with a covered condition, you know, the World Trade Center Health Program will make those, you know, you can go through them to have your screenings and your treatment, or you can choose your own doctor and they will follow you. My Tagrisso drug that I take is extremely expensive, and the World Trade Center Health Program will pick up any copay that primary insurance doesn't cover. So that's a really great thing because it's extremely expensive. But Medicare has been great. So
good.
You know, it's one government bucket or another
right.
for me, you know. But Medicare has been really great.
But I wanted to see if there's anything else you'd like to mention, especially as we come near the 20th anniversary, I guess you could call it, of 9/11 occurring. Is there anything else you wanted to end off with?
I want to say that I am a nobody. I am a very fortunate nobody. I was not a hero. I didn't do anything special regarding, you know, I didn't save anybody. Those heroes who gave their lives for that, they are the heroes. And the people working in those towers and on the flight, you know, and in the Pentagon, those poor people. You know, you think about them and everything they did all the time. This has brought back having to enroll in this program. You have to write a victim impact statement, and it brings back everything constantly. Having to, you know, go through the program brings it back to you and makes you relive what you went through. It's a little difficult, and it was more difficult than I expected, but now I'm almost forced to, you know, talk about it more often, which is, you know, I'll handle that, but I am a lucky one. Even having lung cancer, I'm extremely lucky, and I recognize that. And all the people who lost their loved ones to date have the greatest sympathies because it was a horrible thing for them all to go through. And I just want to bring awareness to the fact that, you know, these programs are there. And it's important that we be part of the research because, you know, the victim toll didn't stop on 9/11, it continues, and it continues 20 years later. And it's important for everyone to be counted, I think.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Cure Talks Cancer Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or other apps to hear every episode, or visit curetoday.com/podcast. The Cure Talks Cancer Podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. For more information, visit us at curetoday.com and find us on Twitter at cure_magazine or Facebook at Cure Magazine.